Welcome to Columbus Perspective, a weekly public affairs presentation of The Fan. I'm Kate Burdett. Coming up, Jay Fox will have information about this year's Salvation Army Red Kettle campaign. He'll also speak with experts on holiday toys and the over-the-counter drugs you should always have on hand. And Jay will talk with a motivational speaker about doing instead of trying. Plus, Doug Petcash of Face the State will have a look at state politics. First up on Columbus Perspective.
The Salvation Army's annual Red Kettle campaign kicked off on Thanksgiving Day, and your generous contributions ensured that the Salvation Army could meet the immediate and long-term needs of millions of individuals and families this holiday season and year-round, both in Columbus, the state of Ohio, and across the country. Commissioner Merle Heatwall, National Commander of the Salvation Army, joins us now on Columbus Perspective to talk about the Red Kettle campaign and why these resources are needed year-round. Welcome, and thank you for your service.
Well, thank you very much, Jay. It's great to be here and to be a part of this overall campaign. And once again, we're grateful to the Cowboys for their support on kicking off our event on Thanksgiving Day. And we look forward to having a wonderful Christmas season where we can raise funds to take care of the needs of people, not just at the Christmas time, but also throughout the year. We're seeing an increased demand for our services, 20 to 25% more responses than previous years, and we just really want to be able to reach out and make a difference in the lives of those that we serve this Christmas season and beyond.
How long has the Red Kettle campaign been in existence? I remember it all the way back to my childhood.
Well, hopefully you don't go quite back to the start, because it's been there for 135 years. We started in 1891 in the San Francisco area to raise funds for a Christmas meal that they were going to provide. And the idea quickly spread throughout the country. And now we have over 24,000 locations where we have Red Kettles out for people to be able to support the work of the Salvation Army at Christmas and throughout the year.
Where do the funds go from the campaign?
Well, one of the wonderful things about the way that we do our fundraising is that all of those donations that come in, they stay local. So when someone gives a donation at the Red Kettle, if they use the QR code to provide that donation, or even if they go online to our website at salvationarmyusa.org, any donation that's made will go back to the local community. And we know there in the Columbus area, Major Philip and Jody Lloyd are providing wonderful services. They provided over 1.4 million meals just this past year and 76,000 Christmas toys and gifts last Christmas season. And so we know that things are happening both in that Columbus area as well as across the country.
What makes this holiday season so different from past holiday seasons?
Well, I think it is a reality that there have been a number of factors throughout the country that have made it more difficult this year for families to be able to provide for their children at Christmas time. And we're seeing many families that are worried about being able to meet their basic needs and having to make choices between taking care of things such as food and shelter or providing that extra gift at Christmas time. And so the work of the Salvation Army is to bridge that gap and to help them to see that there is a way to just have a wonderful Christmas time, whether it's worrying about food, whether it's worrying about finances or overwhelming stress, that as we give with joy, we can make a difference both in the lives of those that we serve, but also the donor themselves, as they see that opportunity to be a part of being generous, that they can make a difference as well, and that they will experience the joy of Christmas.
Now, I know you mentioned it a few minutes ago, but where can shut-ins donate? What is that Red Kettle website?
That they can go to salvationarmyusa.org and that they can make a donation right there online, and that we will be able to then direct that donation to their local community and make sure that the needs of their local community are met this Christmas season and throughout the year.
What's the national goal this year?
that our goal is to once again raise over $100 million through the Red Kettle campaign and to be able to continue to meet the needs of people throughout our community who are looking to us to fill that gap.
Boy, and I'll tell you what, with food insecurity right now, it's needed more than ever before. I know that some of our listeners are going to want information about volunteer opportunities as well. Is there a specific place for that?
Well, they can also go to our website, SalvationArmyUSA.org. If they're interested specifically in ringing the bell for us throughout the Christmas season, they can go to registertoring.com, and they could actually sign up to ring the bell at one of our 24,000 Red Kettle locations this season.
Well, Commissioner, we want to thank you. We want to wish you God's blessings and hopefully a successful campaign. And one day we hope that we don't need to do this anymore.
Well, we appreciate this opportunity just to get the message out and appreciate all that you're doing to tell our story and to encourage people to get involved, because that's what is really meaningful for all of us, is to have that opportunity to give with joy, to really experience the joy of Christmas in our own lives.
Well, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And for Columbus Perspective, I'm Jay Fox.
The Fan.
You're listening to Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Here's Jay Fox.
Making sure the right toys are under the tree can be a source of extreme frustration for parents, grandparents, friends, and other family members. But not to fear. Toy expert Elizabeth Werner is here. She joins us now on Columbus Perspective with this year's Hot Topics. How are you, my friend?
I am well. Thank you for having me, OH.
Indeed, and it's always a pleasure to have you with me. So, question number one, what age group is the hardest to buy for this year?
You know, people always ask that question. I think it's interesting. For me as a mother, as my kids got older and all their buddies were on electronics, I found that was the toughest age because they would ask for electronics. So I think that once they're getting into, you know, the tens, the tweens, the teens, they can be a little bit more challenging. But don't worry, we've got you covered today. For the little ones, Melissa and Doug, for a lot of us as parents and grandparents, we know Melissa and Doug. They're known as the number one preschool brand for all those gorgeous wooden toys. They've come out with a brand new wooden toy. It's a 24-piece beauty kiosk. Now, if anyone has seen the food kiosk they did, this one is built like it. This is a box about 2 feet high, about 18 inches wide. It is an actual kiosk, like a vending machine, where kids are going to put pretend coins in, push some corresponding buttons, and exactly the right little piece of pretend play toy makeup is going to pop down into that really cool collection drawer in the bottom. They're going to pick it up. They're going to pretend to do makeup. They're going to pretend to do skincare. Pretend is key. No mess. This is amazing. The back of the kiosk opens up so you can reload everything right back in. And what I've been told is parents are even utilizing this for some real fun toys as well, not just to play makeup. But this is really amazing. Ages 3 and up.
Okay. Now, what about art-based toys?
So I am all about the arts. And when I think of the arts, I think, you know, painting, drawing, music, drama, all of it. Well, we've got something called the Tony Box 2. This is a box that introduces our kids to the arts, including tons of music, lots of exposure to amazing different theatrical presentations, also books, you name it. The way this works, it's a square cube. The kids will take a little Tony character, place it right on top of the box. It instantly recognizes it. As soon as it recognizes it, it's going to begin to either sing or tell a story or take our kids on an adventure and have them use their what? Imagination. Because, listen to this. Because it's screen free. So as they pop those characters on, they're going to hear that music. They're going to begin to imagine. They're going to get up and dance. They're going to act out their favorite scenes. And we are talking about Lightning McQueen, Elsa, Peppa Pig, Lilo and Stitch, Curious George, Moana, you name it, Peanuts, and Charlie Brown Christmas. They've got it all in Tonys. And by the way, now Tonys are recommended for ages 1 to 9 years old. They have My First Tonys for the little kids, ages 1 and up. They have have something called Tony Play, which is screen-free interactive games, quizzes, and challenges. This is going to get the kids into the arts, into storytelling, which, by the way, you and I both know is a very fine art. So this is something that I'm very excited for. Now, we've got to have one just fun item, right?
Yep.
Just fun. All right. Let me give you a little. You hear these sound effects? This is Marvel, the thing. We know the thing from Marvel. Well, these are called clobbering fists. These are big, huge fists made out of foam. Our kids put their hands inside, and when they punch into the air or they hit a hard surface, they're going to hear these crazy sounds. By the way, the more they punch, the more ramped up the sounds get. They're getting their exercise. They're having fun. And again, I want you to know, these are harmless. They're foam. They're soft. They're silly, but they look like the thing, and they are super cool.
That does sound cool. Now, how has the emergence of artificial intelligence affected the toy market? I hear they're actually toys that will talk to you in real time.
Okay, so I've seen some of the most unbelievable AI toys. There are teddy bears that are going to be able to give your kids stories. Your kids will go onto a tablet, pick their subject matter, what kind of characters they want, and then the bear is going to tell the story. There's something called a Magix, which is amazing. It's a little crystal ball. Inside, you choose a fairy or a dragon. With AI, it can help your kids with their homework. They can have a full conversation. It can take the kids on adventures. But what I want you to know is that the toy industry is working incredibly hard to make sure whenever AI is included in any of the products that they are child safe, child friendly. They eliminate any of the other scary stuff that we can find on the internet when we're on our tablets. These are designed specifically for your children. But the fact that they can have a little dragon or a fairy inside a crystal ball that's going to help them with their homework, I played with it for a couple of hours this week. And the fact that it could talk back to me and help me with my math, with my science, with learning about the stars. Truly remarkable. I even asked it about all the holidays, and it gave me the stories of every holiday out there. So there's a lot of great AI, but you have to make sure you're buying it in relation to a children's product if you're going to allow your children to utilize it.
Absolutely. Now, when they invent something that can hang out with me in the kitchen and cook, then we've got a game for Jay.
I agree with you. Now, that robot we saw on the news, the Russian robot, it's not ready yet. But when they come out with, like, the George Jetson awesome things that can, like, clean and cook, I'm with you. I want it all.
All right. I asked you this last year. I'm going to ask you again because I think it's the best question. Is there a site where we can go that will give us gift-buying suggestions?
Yes. So you can go to our website, which is WernerInfo.com, to learn about these products and a lot of others. You can also follow me on social media at Elizabeth Werner TV.
All right. We want to thank Elizabeth Werner for being with us. The holidays are here, and it is time to go, go, go. And for Columbus Perspective, I'm Jay Fox.
The Fan.
The slogan of a popular credit card company is, "What's in your wallet?" Today, we're going to explore what's in your medicine cabinet, as we will be dealing with respiratory illnesses, colds, and flu likely through mid-May here in Columbus. CVS Pharmacist District Leader Amy Lynn Safady joins us now on Columbus Perspective to take a peek behind that mirrored door. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Amy, why are the months of October through mid-May such a critical time for illness?
So this is our peak respiratory season. So this is where we tend to see an uptick in the flu virus, also spikes in other respiratory viruses that are going around. So this is a time of year where we really want to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves and trying to stay healthy.
Boy, I'll tell you what, that is absolutely the truth. It comes like clockwork every year. So what should we have in stock in our medicine cabinet during this time to prepare?
Absolutely. So before you get stocked in medicine cabinet at home, it's also a great idea to make sure that you're getting your flu vaccine. So the CDC recommends that everybody ages 6 months and older get a flu vaccine, and it's the best way to help keep yourself and your family healthy. But besides that, it's always a good idea to have some things when you are not feeling well inside your medicine cabinet. There are certain products that I always love to have, like electrolytes, decongestants, and pain relievers. That way, if I'm not feeling well, I have something on hand and don't have to first run out to grab something.
So I've got a lot of that stuff in my cabinet now, and I did go to CVS and get my flu shot, so I'm a good boy.
That's great.
My question is, some of the stuff that I have is recently expired, so when do we know if we have to throw something away? Is the expiration date a suggestion or a mandate?
Yeah. So with medications, it's not like the items in your refrigerator, right? You would never eat past due milk. But with medications, if they are expired, they will start to lose their potency. So you want to make sure that you do check those expiration dates. And if they are expired, dispose of them and refresh your medicine cabinet. Because if you're not feeling well, you want to make sure you have something on hand that's actually going to help you.
Is that something that we should be doing annually or twice a year?
I would honestly, every time you go to the store and you want to rotate what's in your medicine cabinet, I know we always check expiration dates whenever I'm doing a cleanup and I'm trying to clean out cabinets and things in my own home. So I would recommend at least twice a year, because depending on the product, many things that you buy will have a long expiration date, especially if it is an over-the-counter product.
Now, sometimes we take medicines because we have them and we don't stop to think about what potential negative interactions could happen. So what are some examples of active ingredients that should not be taken together?
Yeah, so if you have any questions about drug interactions, it's always a good idea to talk to your CVS pharmacist. But if you do take medications for certain things like high blood pressure or certain antidepressants, there are combination over-the-counter products for cough and cold that are not recommended. So it's always a good idea to talk to your pharmacist and also your healthcare provider if you have any questions. And I will say with that, a lot of the products over-the-counter that are combination for cold and flu, they have a variety of ingredients in them. So you just want to pay attention to that, the way you're not double-dipping, so to speak. If there's a pain reliever in your combination product, make sure you're not taking an additional pain reliever separately. So it's a good idea just to make sure we're not overdoing it on one ingredient.
So I'm going to get into the weeds for a minute because I'm curious. If someone is on an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety, an SSRI, is a product like Benadryl a problem, or is it, you know, decongestant in general, or is it the pain reliever that could pose the issue?
So there's actually some of the cough suppressant medications that are in these combination products. That's what actually can interfere with some certain antidepressant medications. And it's not your typical SSRIs. It's usually a class of drug called an SNRI, which is a lot less common. Usually people who are on medications for antidepressant or for depression, SSRIs are the most common class. So the risk is low with those drugs, but it's always a good idea to make sure you read the label and check for any interactions. So that's the specific ingredient typically when it comes to cough and cold.
So if a medical provider prescribes medication, does the CVS pharmacist flag that to make sure that, you know, there aren't any mistakes? How does that work?
Of course, yeah. So anytime a provider sends over a prescription, the CVS pharmacist is checking to make sure that there's no interactions with the medications that the patient is currently taking.
So
patient safety is always a priority.
Okay. What's the difference then between a name brand and a store brand? Are we paying for marketing campaigns, or are we paying for better quality?
The store brands are going to be the same quality as the national brand. They have to go through the same rigorous safety and efficacy testing through the FDA as the national brand. So I always recommend the store brand to my patients because it's going to do the same thing but save you some money. And with the when shopping at CVS, we have updated packaging, so it's really easy to find what you're looking for the whole family.
Now, what about first aid supplies in the medicine cabinet, especially during snow season? Because sometimes you just can't get out of the house.
Yeah, it's always a good idea to keep a first aid kit on hand. Things like bandages, antibiotic cream, alcohol, always a good idea to have on hand, whether it's you're traveling or in your medicine chest at home.
Now, I remember when my oldest daughter went to college for the first time, and we pre-packed a box of supplies specifically addressing this topic. Now, if we don't have daddy like me doing that for you, where can we send people for a good one-stop online guide to, you know, what are the basics, what should be in stock?
Yeah, if listeners have questions or need to shop, they can visit their local CVS. Or if they're maybe a college student that's stuck in the dorm or doesn't have a car, they could always visit CVS.com for delivery.
And it will provide, like, some basic guidelines, like you should have this pain reliever and this decongestant and this, whatever it is.
questions like that, it's always a great idea to call your local CVS and speak to the pharmacist so you can make sure to get the products that you need.
Fantastic. Well, let's hope and pray that here in Central Ohio, it is an easy winter. I want to thank Amy Lynn Savity for joining us, and for Columbus Perspective, I'm Jay Fox.
The Fan.
This is Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Here's more from Jay Fox.
Author and motivational speaker Carla Andrasik knows a thing or two about getting things done. She was a powerhouse in the music industry, serving as the former vice president of creative writer development for EMI Music. She helped bring hit songs to life for icons like Barbra Streisand, Cher, Mariah Carey, Christina Aguilera, and even discovered, get this, signed and developed her own husband, musical artist John Andrasik. You know him as Five for Fighting. In her new book, Stop Trying, The Life-Transforming Power of Trying Less and Doing More, she reveals the hidden science behind why a mindset built on trying can lead to anxiety, procrastination, fear of failure, and the incredible transformation to a life of doing. I love it. How are you, Carla? Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me on your show, and I'm fantastic. I'm actually on the road with my husband right now.
Well, tell him I said hello.
Oh, I will.
All right. So I love the book, but I was immediately put off by the title. Stop Trying is hardly a motivational statement. Was this by design?
Absolutely. 100%. You know, trying is the opposite of what people think that it is. We think that it's a brave, powerful step forward, right? Well, I'm going to give it a try, right? But it's not surprise. It's anything but that.
So most people think, like you said, that trying is actually doing something. And it's kind of like getting our participation trophy for getting up and getting out of bed in the morning, in my opinion. But can you give us a working example of trying to do something versus actually doing something so that our listeners can better understand the difference?
Yes, 100%. So, okay, when we say we're going to try to do something, you are building in the intention for and the potential for failure the minute you say I'm trying to, because what that means is it may not happen. So I'll try to meet you at 9 a.m. I'm going to try to, you know, I'll try to come to your party. Let's just do that one because it's coming up on the holiday time. You know, I'm having a fundraiser. We're having a cocktail party. I'm going to try to show up. What that means is you don't have to, because you only said you would try. And you get home and you're like, well, I'm so exhausted. The last thing I feel like doing is putting on a new outfit and going out to this, you know, fundraiser I said I would go to. So you just don't go because I only said I would try to go. Now, the person on the other end, they're not setting a place setting for you. They're not going to hold up everybody because, no, they said they're coming. They're going to be here. I bought their favorite donuts, you know. We've got a gift for them. They're going to be here. They said they would do it. Because there's no accountability if you don't show up. Oh, sorry, I didn't make it. I only said I would try to get there, right? We do this in all aspects of our life. I'm going to try to spend more time with my kids, try to spend more time with my partner or have a better, closer, deeper relationship with my partner, try to schedule a doctor's appointment. Think of the millions of people out there that are trying to schedule a dermatology appointment. It's like usually the bottom of the list, skin cancer's on the rise. And what trying means is I'm going to try to find a good doctor. I'm going to try to figure out a time I want to go, and nothing happens. They just keep trying to make it happen, but they're not taking definitive action and making that appointment so that maybe they could potentially, you know, alleviate some deadly skin cancer. You know what I mean?
Sure.
We try in every aspect of our life. You'll hear that word today 50 times after you hang up with me. And you'll say it yourself, but I'm rambling here, but trying in the dictionary is an attempt or an effort to do something. But in reality, for everybody listening, when you say you're going to try, it's a half-hearted attempt or an effort. It's I'll maybe kind of sort of do it if ish, I feel like doing it, attempt or an effort.
Yeah, it's a mamby-pamby approach for sure.
Yeah.
The thing I liked about your book is that it contains actual exercises that require the reader to stop and think. Was it the goal? Was the goal behind that, rather, that pause while reading?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I wrote the book. It's so easy. You know, you can open it on a flight from L.A. to New York and get off that plane a whole new person with a brand new, really strong guide to how to get what you want done. So the book is written in four parts. What does it mean to try? Why do we do it? How does it hurt us? And how do you move forward without it? And at the end of each chapter are very workable exercises that you do in real time. So as you're reading the book, it's like, oh, I get it. I see what you're saying here. Now I feel the experience of what you're talking about. And I think they're really fun exercises.
I certainly enjoyed it. And I figured out that I haven't accomplished as much as I thought I had.
Well, yeah. What are some things you're, what is like one thing that you're going to try to do today that you said to yourself, I'll try to do?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I've been avoiding cleaning the cat litter boxes for 2 days now, and I've got to get it done. So that is the thing I'm going to do when we're done with this interview.
I love that. So that's what you just came into, like an actionable item.
Correct.
So instead of saying I'm going to try to clean the cat litter boxes today, which my son has two cats, and when I visit him, I'm like, oh God, these poor cats. But you say, I will clean the cat boxes today, the litter boxes, because what you're doing is when you say those words, I will do it, your brain actually lights up. It literally fires. You can Google a picture of your brain when you say it's going to try and your brain when it says it's doing. And now it has a set of actions and it knows what to do. But when you tell it, I'm going to try to clean those litter boxes, it's a very low hum. You're like in neutral. You don't really have to do it, right? It can slide. You're saying it's an option.
It's on that list of it's getting done today.
Yeah.
Carla, how did your background in the music industry prepare and qualify you to write this guidebook?
Well, in the music business, in publishing, think about it. There, well, were, because I'm a little older and I was in the business years ago, 10 songs on an album.
Yep.
And thousands of publishers and songwriters across the world wanted one spot on a 10 album, you know, 10 song album.
Yep.
So in order to get yourself into that position, that mindset of trying wasn't going to work. Oh, I'll mail a song in to the record label. Oh, I'll you know, make a few phone calls and see if I can find out who's producing. You have to go all in, hardcore, show up in the recording studio with your cassette tape or, you know, whatever, your dad, and bring the song. Get yourself in front of people. The trying part won't get you anywhere. You have to think outside the box. I mean, I employed so many different ways to get to people, and it worked.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
I was in the room.
I remember being a radio program director in the 80s and 90s and having record reps do the unthinkable to get my attention. And that was an example of doing, not trying.
Yeah. Oh, so, I'm sure you have a lot of stories.
Stories for days, 40 years in the business. Does this manifesto transcend life experiences like work, relationships, physical fitness, mental health improvement, addiction, overcoming addiction? Can we apply all of that to this?
Yes, I talk about that in the book. You know, with addiction, it's physical, and I'm not a doctor, but I would absolutely say to anyone that's addicted to anything, it's a first step of saying, well, here's an example. I was a smoker, and mm-hmm. The smoker can't say I'm going to try to quit smoking because that means you can have a cigarette here and there, but you're still a smoker, right?
Yep.
The smoker, I said to myself, I no longer smoke cigarettes. I am no longer a smoker.
That's a different statement than I'm going to quit smoking.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's completely different. And your brain knows what to do with that. So it doesn't know what to do with, I'm trying to quit smoking. So in business, I'm going to try to set up that meeting. You know, leaders, the top people, the CEOs, the chairmen, the presidents, the top people, they don't say, I'll try to get back to you. I'll try to set up that meeting. And let's try to increase our sales numbers. No, they say things like, I will call you at 3 o'clock today, right?
Right.
We will set up a meeting at 4 o'clock. I'll see you there. I'll have the report on your desk. We're increasing our sales 15% this quarter, you know.
Citizens against waffling. That's what we've established here. No more waffling. Yeah.
No more waffling. And it can be something little. It can be something, you know, that you've been trying to do for a long time. See, one of the reasons that we try is we just create it as this monster in our head, whatever the thing is. But if you just stop and ask yourself, wow, I've been trying to clean the garage for a year now. And every time I go in there and get my car, I feel just disgusted, right? It makes me upset. I have anxiety because I said I was going to do this. And every time I go in there, I'm reminded that I haven't done it. Take 2 hours on a Saturday and do half of it. And you're going to be so proud of yourself. You're going to be like, wow, that was not as bad as I thought. Look at how good I feel going in the garage. Now I want to finish the rest.
And guess
what?
Now I'm
going to go in the kitchen.
You actually accomplished something.
Right? You did it.
So,
it's really fun.
Carla, what is the one thing that you want the readers of your book to come away with if you were to boil it down to one sentence?
That there is... We have to unlearn what we've learned about trying, that it's not a good thing, that it's only going to hold you back. And it's so much more fun and life enhancing to do instead of half heart and try.
So when are you coming to Columbus with your husband?
When are we coming to Columbus? You know what? I have some say here in this relationship and the tours that he does.
Uh-huh.
So I'm gonna put my foot down and say we need to come to Columbus. We love Ohio.
Well, you tell your publicist to reach out to me so I can see in person when you come to Columbus. And also, let us know where we can get the book. Is it available everywhere?
The book is available everywhere, Amazon, Target, Barnes & Noble. The audiobook comes out on October 28th, and I read it, and I'm so excited for that. And a really cool thing is to follow me on Instagram, because I do really great, you know, boom, every day you're going to get a hit of a fun way or a serious way of how trying creeps into our life and how we can get out of it. So Instagram is great. Just Carla Androsic, TikTok, all of it.
Now, we want to thank you for being with us this morning. And I have to go because I have 2 litter boxes to clean.
You go clean those litter boxes.
All right. My best to your husband. And for Columbus Perspective, I'm Jay Fox.
Columbus Perspective is a public affairs presentation of WBNS Radio. The opinions expressed on this program are those of its guests and do not necessarily reflect those of WBNS Radio, its staff, management, or sponsors.
The Fan.
You're listening to Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Now, courtesy of our sister station, WBNS 10 TV, here's Doug Petcash from the Sunday morning public affairs program, Face the State. A new edition can be seen this morning at 11:30 on 10 TV.
Right now, former Ohio Department of Health Director Dr. Amy Acton is the only Democrat in the race for governor. She will not face an opponent in the May primary unless someone else jumps into the race. On November 21st, former 10-term Ohio Democratic Congressman Tim Ryan announced he will not run for governor in 2026. It ended weeks of speculation that he might join the gubernatorial race. Ryan said he made the decision after careful consideration, much prayer and reflection, and after long conversations with his family, closest friends, and advisors. This leaves Acton as the only Democrat in the race. As the director of the Ohio Department of Health under Governor Mike DeWine, Acton helped lead Ohio through the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic. She launched her campaign for governor in January of this year. On the Republican side, biotech entrepreneur and former presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy is endorsed by the Ohio Republican Party and President Donald Trump. Former Morgan County School Board President Heather Hill is also running for governor as a Republican candidate. The seat will be open because Governor Mike DeWine is term limited. I sat down with Dr. Acton after Congressman Ryan announced he is not running for governor. We talked about her focus and priorities and where she stands on recent legislation in Ohio on property tax reform and absentee mail-in ballots. I started by asking her about the impact of Ryan's decision on her campaign.
Well, I can tell you that I have been working laser focused on Ohioans. We've been everywhere in the state listening deeply for almost 2 years now. And I'm also very, very focused on my opponent, Mr. Ramaswamy, and winning this election in the fall of 26.
But what impact do you feel Tim Ryan's decision not to run has on your campaign?
You know, we've been very much working with everyone. We've had wonderful endorsements. We see an Ohio that is uniting. I can tell you this does not know party, what we've been seeing for quite some time. People in this state are struggling. They are doing everything right. There is no breathing room left. Affordability is the big issue we've been hearing about, whether it be housing or childcare or taxes and property taxes going up, energy bills going up. We absolutely realize that we need to not look the other way while these bad actors, special interests, keep taking us in the wrong direction. Ohioans everywhere are really uniting around change.
Are you breathing kind of a sigh of relief, though, that you're not going to have a primary contest here where the two of you could potentially have been beating each other up?
You know, I think it's so important that we all stay focused on what Ohioans need. So certainly, you know, being focused on the general election, being able to focus on what I see as a self-funding billionaire who is a Washington insider that literally flies around the state in a private jet. You know, we always say we're out there in our old Jeep touring the state, listening deeply to Ohioans. And what I hear from Ohioans is they don't much care about party. What they care about is to have public servants again who absolutely focus on solving the problems of our everyday life instead of making them.
How do you feel right now in terms of what you're seeing, what you're hearing, and that how you stack up against Mr. Ramaswamy?
I can tell you that we just see a tremendous momentum of people. We've seen these crowds, people, you know, I'm not much of a political pundit, but I've been hearing this is quite unusual that, you know, people are longing for change. I've shared with you before, Doug, you know, I had a pretty rough beginning to my life. I know what it feels like to struggle. I know what Ohioans are sharing with me, that they're doing everything right. You know, my opponent has said that people are lazy and mediocre. We're just not working hard enough in Ohio, but that is not the Ohioans I am seeing. Everyone is doing everything they can. They're doing the right things. It's like the people where I grew up in Youngstown. We know what it's like to work hard. But we also know that these bad actors and special interests have been stacking the deck against us. We know that there is more money going out of our houses than is coming in for many of us. And it is absolutely time for this state to have good people. And it's not about party. Good public servants back in the state house in Columbus to make change for us on the things that really matter.
As governor, you would obviously have the veto power or the signature power. The state house, the legislature just passed four property tax reform bills that will be going to the governor. If you were governor, what would you do with those bills?
You know, we absolutely have to be focused on immediate relief. There are folks out there aging in place in homes they've been in their whole lives. You know, property taxes, as we know, are going up. They're going up, though, because of the antics of the state house, giving tax breaks to the rarest amongst us at the sake of not fully funding our local communities. What I believe after immediate tax relief is that we have to actually do the hard work of getting people around the table to do comprehensive tax reform in the state.
Are you concerned that this amendment proposal could go through that would eliminate property taxes across the state just as you would be taking office if you win the election?
I can see why people are worried about their property taxes, but we absolutely have to understand that it would be reckless for our local communities, you know, our schools, our frontline responders, our libraries, all the things that are the glue that keep us safe, that keep us well, that we need property taxes, we need money to actually support these structures. The problem is the State House has been systematically for years not fully funding our communities. They've pushed more and more of the burden down, and then we are all paying for it. We're also paying in our energy bills because of the corruption and the bad actors who are not actually taking care of us and doing the work we've actually asked them to do. So we, you know, need a thorough look at our taxes. We did this once in the 70s. You know, the world has changed rapidly, but that's why, as governor, I'll be doing a very deep dive and holistic look so that Ohio is affordable again for all of us. And there is no one who isn't feeling it right now, Doug. I mean, we just have to all admit it. There's no one who didn't. We shared our energy bill, my husband and I. You know, I'm married to a 43-year public school teacher and a coach. You know, we feel these things just like everyone else. And I think it has been so broken in our State House for so long, we forget that this isn't how it's supposed to work. It is supposed to be about good people on both sides of the aisle doing the hard work of making our lives better.
I also plan to invite both Vivek Ramaswamy and Heather Hill to appear on Face the State heading into the heart of the election season to talk about their plans and priorities. Heather Hill was a guest on the show back in March of 2025. You can find that on 10TV.com.
Again, that's courtesy of our sister station, WBNS 10TV, from the Sunday morning public affairs program, Face the State. A new edition can be seen this morning at 11:30 on 10TV. This has been Columbus Perspective, a weekly public affairs presentation of The Fan. Heard each Sunday morning at 6 on WBNS FM 97.1 The Fan and on 1460 AM The Fan 2.